Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We're going to be talking about the Billy Meier case this evening. Billy Meier is a one-armed farmer from Switzerland. He's in his late 70s. He lives in a tiny mountain village called Hinterschmidruthi, which is about 52 minutes east of Zurich. It's in a beautiful area with thick green forests. He has a building there, which he calls the Sannyasi Silver Star Center. And this building is where a group called FIGU meets. FIGU is a group that translates and helps publish Billy's material. FIGU has branches throughout the world, and they're dedicated to bringing the information that Billy brings to the table to the public. And it's some of the most interesting information you'll ever come across. In my opinion, it's the greatest source of wisdom on the planet. Edward Albert Meyer started his extraterrestrial contacts when he was about 5 years old, when he was living in a place called Bulach, Switzerland, which is a municipality in Switzerland in the canton of Zurich. It's in northern Switzerland and belongs to something called the Glatt Valley. And as a young boy, at about 3 a.m. one morning on a mild night in May in 1941, he went outside, crawled out a lower window, and looked up at a beautiful starry night. And he heard a voice in his head that said, "My life is made out of the love of creation." And a short time later, words formed on Billy's lips, which said, "Since ancient times, you've lived among the stars." And Billy recognized who he was, and he recognized that he had a mission on the earth. And suddenly, impulses came from somewhere, and he realized that these impulses were coming from the storage banks of our universe. And he was filled with good memories, and he suddenly knew what space and time signify concerning the evolution of all human beings. And he recognized that the light which the stars emitted was a light in the visible spectrum, but there remained another kind of light, a true love, which remained invisible. Billy had a great epiphany that night in May, and shortly after that, he started to get these telepathic messages from this man named Sloth. Now, Sloth was an extraterrestrial human from a world called Era that was some 500 light years from the Earth. It's in a different space-time configuration than we live in, an older space-time configuration. And I'm going to read a brand new contact report that Michael Horn just published, and it comes from a man who translated this, was a guy named Matthew Deagle, who translated this from the original German. This is the 653rd contact that Billy has had, and this occurred on June of this year, 2016, at about 9:41. And Billy asks Patah a question. He says, "But now I have another question. Whether you play are and previously had similar forms of government to those that exist on the earth?" And Patah states, "That was in fact the case, as the ancient records recording a peaceful global world leadership among several Plaran folks were not heeded, for which reason insurrections, wars, revolutions, and diverse forms of terrorism occurred. But that resulted from the fact that five different folks, distantly descended from the Nokodemian lineage, had settled on Ura. They were rivals to each other, about which, however, I should give a few significant explanations for your information. Of course, I cannot be too detailed with these, but we'll only discuss the important information because the whole history is so extensive that a day-long lecture would be required to discuss it all. Hence, I shall begin. Our folk, from which I am myself distantly descended, bore since time immemorial the designation of Nokodemistan, which means in the language of our ancestors, in brief, the folk of Nokodemian. Let me just fill in the blanks here a little bit. Means most ancient, and Nokodemian is the original incarnation of the spirit form of Edward Albert Meyer. So this folk comprised of 11 people, which had their home world on a planet called Arania, in a star system called Izdukura. When the astronomers realized that a destructive change was happening in the star system of Izdukura, in which our ancestors lived, and that an annihilation of the whole system was imminent, and the destruction was spreading rapidly, through which the home planet, Arania, was also threatened with destruction, a resettlement possibility in another star system on another planet was sought for all the folks. Such a star system was in fact found after a few years. So in all, 11 folks, who in total comprise 510 million human beings, were resettled in the new system within 28 years, namely on two different planets and two different solar systems. The cosmic destruction process of this Izdukura star system lasted 214 years before the whole system was entirely wiped out. The resettlement in the new star system, which was about 6 light-years across, happened about 26 million years ago. And still, since then, till the present time, we have been based in the Pleiaran system, which will also remain so. The resettlement occurred into two different solar systems on life-bearing planets in a large star system, the so-called open or loose star cluster. Already at the beginning of the colonization in the new star system, it was called Pleiaran by our ancestors, namely in alteration of the name Plejara after the Ishwish presiding over the settlement. There was a female Ishwish or an Ishwish named Plejara who was one of the original women leaders of the Pleiaran. Our ancestors chose this star system designation according to an old passed down tradition that stated that the first folk that colonized a formerly uninhabited but now habitable planet in a new star system should take for the name of the star system the name of the Ishwish or Ishrish in charge of the action, borrowing from the home planet Arania. The new home planet was then named in abbreviated form Ura. From this lineage descended all the clans of my genealogy, who have undertaken since time immemorial to follow and spread the teaching of the prophets, namely the teaching that had its origin with the universal prophet Nokodemian. The ancient undertaking traced back to then, because, as our annals state, the most distant ancestors in my own lineage issued from the universal prophet Nokodemian. The mission on Earth is also in this succession of undertaking, which has lasted up to this day, and in which also our early as well as our direct forebears were involved in recent millennia. At first, however, we did not know in regard to our present undertakings why it was that my father Svath took you into his tutelage and initiated you into the teaching of the prophets. For it was unknown to us that you are of importance to the Notre Dame mission. First, in the course of the years of our contacts with you, we did become aware, as we were advised of it by the High Council and by ancient records, what importance was to be attributed to your spirit form, and what importance it indeed has. What was known to us at that time consisted merely in that we had to concern ourselves with you, which fundamentally and primarily became the task of my father, Sloth. After him, Asket, and after her, Sannyase, Quetzal me to carry out this duty. But to return to the history of us, the Plyaren, about which I still have very much to say and to explain, so the home world of the immigrants from the star system is Dukuro had been destroyed by a cosmic catastrophe, for which reason the humankind existing there had to leave and seek out a new home, which they found in the new star system, which was known to them and was located more than 4,000 light years away. After which the colonization they named Plyaren, in which contained in the 6-light-year encompassing star system about 563 system members. In this Plyaren system, there existed solar system with planets, among which two were capable of bearing human and other diverse forms of life. Consequently, these worlds were considered for colonization by the settlers. So the first 6 folks, to which my ancestors also belonged, who formed a knowledgeably and teaching successive community, colonized a planet that was called Era. The other 5 folks were entitled a planet in the neighboring solar system, was given the name Eras. This planet, too, was naturally a planet capable of bearing life for human beings and for other life forms. So the settlers remained there from then on. Everything went well for all the following millions of years as the population of all folks was maintained in accordance with the prescribed law at a size of a little more than 500 million in total, as has been laid down in law since time immemorial, in order that no overpopulation could occur. And so that no unsolvable problems and no destructions to nature or the planet would be elicited. But then it came to pass, a little less than 112,300 years B.C., by terrestrial Emmanuel-based reckoning, that a mite-obsessed Ishwish and an Ishrish from 2 of the folks joined forces in an Asortung corresponding wise, who united their 2 folks and brought about a Gewalt rule by means of minions drilled in acts of Gewalt, and were able to enforce this against all resistance. The conjoined populations were terrorized and tormented, and as all the ancient traditional laws, recommendations, regulations, and manners were replaced by Asortung, corresponding new degrees. A Sartung is it's a negativity that's beyond normal negativity. To get very badly out of control of the good human nature. That's what a Sartung means. And the 2 might obsessed ones were placed in the position of the higher might. The process lasted more than 200 years and disabled the population in regard to their own powers of decision-making, as well as their intellect and rationality. And this occurred in a form whereby the 2 might possessors were obligatorily treated as absolute dictators, which quickly led to compulsory submissiveness and servitude of the population, as well as ultimately to the delusional belief that the dictators, being possession of the almightiness and the creation power. The inevitable consequence thereof led quickly and inevitably to the worship of the dictators. Sound familiar? And so to a state of belief of a religious form. Because the human beings had submissively distanced themselves far from the reality through the Gewalt rulership and imagined themselves, contrary to intellect and rationality, to be free, protected, and independent, so long as they humbly, prayingly, and undissentingly submitted to the Gewalt rulership. And Gewalt is a very powerful negative force beyond violence, even. And that's even a bad, that's not the best definition. That's about the best I can do on the moment. Hence, in a religious wise, real flesh and blood might obsessed human beings were worshipped as creational omnipotences. Unlike the imaginary, unreal deities, wonder-working creator beings in our fairy tale forms were called. In doing so, they unlearned that they owed their entire existence ultimately to their own achievement and not to their dictators. Ultimately, the human beings came to believe in the centuries-long Gewalt and compulsionally suggested indoctrinated delusion that the Gewalt rulers and their later successors of the same kind had in primeval times originally created them as human beings and had also created the air to breathe, the water to drink, and even the sun and all the heavenly bodies, the planets, and all the life forms. For all the human beings, the Gewaltian coercion-based delusional belief became an axiomatic response, incontrovertible, unquestionable fact, so that all those should have been provided to them since time immemorial by the Gewalt rulers, who they believed to be creationally superior to them, and that they were obliged to worship. These dictators servilely thank them for their benevolence and in presence to lower their gaze and cover their head. Thereby, the belief came to be, and so the fact of religion, that in having been created by the Gewalt rulers, the dictators, the human beings had a connection back to these. That's exactly what is said by the term religion. Binding back, religar. The term relates in the form of an irrational thinking to the solution of the religion believers, having supposedly relinquished a connection to their dictators, their creators, namely the belonging with them, wherefrom there they had been, there had been the obligation for them, the human beings, the religion believers, to reconnect with them. It bears saying furthermore, that through the combination of these two folks and the delusional belief in the Gewalt rulers, the dictators, as well as through their might machination and acts of Gewalt, also unpeace arose with the other three folks. From this circumstance, there resulted a terrible and destructive series of wars between all the folks and 75,140 years ago triggered a planetary catastrophe, which ultimately spread over the whole planet Eris and took on global and devastating proportions, namely in that the planet and its atmosphere began to die off and slowly but constantly made all life impossible. Boy, that doesn't sound like something that might happen here on Earth. Boy, I hope not, but certainly sounds like it. Hence, a mass exodus of the hostility embroiled and embattled folks took place. And the nearest solution for them was to approach the planet Era as the nearest place of refuge and there to set down their craft with Gewalt. The anciently indigenous six folks of Era additionally wanted to become involved in no belligerent actions, so they, albeit reluctantly, permitted the Gewalt and invasionly immigration of the refugees and naturally refrained from their hostile entanglements, but did, however, endeavor in the name of the folk through the spirit leadership to put an end through peace efforts to the repeatedly igniting Gewalt and war actions among the Gewaltly immigrated folks, which, however, was completed without success. The population of the Gewalt Dewing immigrants consisted of about 382 million human beings, plus all of those who had survived the warlike action on Eris. Thus, the population count on Era rose to about 900 million, which naturally led to many problems and difficulties, which the anciently settled folks had to deal with, who naturally, in accordance with their laws and recommendations, rules and regulations, etc., were helpful to the folks of their neighbor system. They, however, did not conform to the laws and recommendations, etc., of the anciently indigenous folks, but continued their feuds and wars amongst themselves and against each other. And this continued for following centuries. Yet the anciently indigenous six folks abstained and did not interfere, which was respected by the intruders. This respect resulted from the fact that they knew full well that the anciently indigenous inhabitants of Era were ready in the event of an attack upon them to defend themselves. Moreover, were greatly superior to the would-be attackers in every respect. For that matter, it further bears saying, of the 11 folks of that time, thus only six of them were peaceful, democratic, and in regard to their way of life, aligning with the teaching of the prophet, which already since very early times had determined in every respect within these folks their life and deeds, actions, and behavior, and comprehensively likewise everything else about them. In the course of time, these six folks formed themselves on our planet Era together into a single folk, and this folk vested supreme authority in a nine-person spirit leadership, which had the office of conducting the affairs of the folk according to the democratically character folk will, which was unfailingly remain the case to this day and also will remain so indefinitely. The other five folks practice, as I previously explained, religious and higher human power-oriented belief forms for the sake of Gewalt rulers, dictators whom they worshipped in a religious wise as their creators. For our great folk was naturally irreconcilable with the reality and thus also did not correspond to the real truth. All of these five diverse higher power believing folks were mutually unpeaceful and even hostile to one another. As similarly, the populations were peaceless and loveless as well as aggressive among themselves. Hence, also after their exodus from the unlivable home planet Eris, they continued as before repeatedly to carry out hostile actions against each other and disturb the peace of Era until ultimately 74,200 years ago, a global war took place in all those regions inhabited by the war-obsessed folks who were engaged in their mutual hostility. Toward our great folk, however, they respected our efforts for peace and so kept at rest toward us and abstained their offensive actions against us. Yet this was also no doubt ensured by our much higher technology in regard to defensive actions, for our folks were very superior to theirs. Insurrections, wars, revolutions, and terrorism were inevitable among these folks, the beliefly dictators, because of the systems of government in operation over them, which were operated by the might-obsessed rulers. These ruled the folks in a gruesome way, similar to how has been done on Earth since time immemorial, and this continues to be done, for this has been perpetuated in the present time. The whole of the undemocratic systems were on the one hand practiced in the form of monarchies, dictatorships, and other Gewalt rulerships, as well as, however, through similar forms as other called, you know, republics in the terrestrial sense. Not until a final seven-year war, extremely terrible and devastating global war, about 74,200 years ago by the mutually hostile folks that had fled from Eris to Era, did it become about at last, after more than half of the human population of this hostility and brutal folks were reduced to the war action, that the Irasen's minds changed for the better. So using many ideas, a political reformation and transformation process was pursued, which, however, took about 14,000 years and brought no success, but was always present and was newly undertaken from time to time. The remaining war folks of Iris engaged in rationality-winning quarrels, were at odds with each other, and brought forward some objections and proposals that could not be implemented, so everything came to naught. They frequently imagined themselves to be disadvantaged, wanting special conditions, more rights, more might. So time and again, the whole matter fell through, and the old forms of government were continued and validated. That led again and again to insurrections, actions of war, to revolutions and terrorism. Not until the individual spirit leaders of these quarreling warlike folks confederated into a spirit leadership and unitarily gave teachings to the war folks, where the Irenas stimulated to concern themselves deeply in rationality in the framework of the ancient traditional teaching of the ancient prophet and to learn it comprehensively. But the efforts for that fundamentally came from the spirit leadership of the anciently indigenous folks who intended to debut a whole planetary leadership if the warlike folks could ascend to it. Yet the teachings giving and teaching lasted farther about 3,000 years before the teaching was sufficiently accepted and integrated into the thought world of the quarreling folks that had fled to Era and had incessantly sowed discord there, that the human beings began to cultivate, nonetheless, time and time again, there were still aggressions and Asar tongues in regard to the insurrections, acts of war, and terrorism. And in general, the responsible motive for these were religious and related to the various extent belief communities still believing in the Gewalt rulers. Eventually, there came at last the point in time when, in cooperation with the indigenous spirit leadership, the spirit leadership of the hostile folks had also worked out a new form of state leadership, which was approved by all people according to the system of the old teaching of the prophet. Having at last grown weary of the insurrections, wars, revolutions, and terrorism, the countless dead and the destructions, ultimately of that about 382 million human beings of the Gewalt employing the immigrated hostile and embattled folks, more than half were killed by the global war, namely more than 217 million. And so there were only 165 million survivors. Okay, 165 million survivors from this war on Era. What we're getting here is the history of Era. Era is the home world of the Plaiaran. And it sounds like they've had a lot of history of war and terrorism. Ultimately, this led to the situation that the rest of the hostile folks were actually willing to heed the drawn-up rules and proposals of the spirit leadership and to approve these. That did occur only with great effort, but such that rapid progress was made and the human beings have been the devotees of the higher powers, disengaged themselves from their delusional belief. And there was this delusional religion on Era in ancient times that they worshipped their dictators. Same kind of thing we've seen on Earth. But they broke free from that and assimilated into the democracy of the indigenous Irans, and also unanimously into the rules and laws of the planetary spirit leaders who had been appointed by the great folk as the supreme planetary spirit leadership, yet they were also likewise the spirit leadership responsible for each country. Thus, for the entire planet, and also for all the previously hostile, now, however, semi-peaceful countries, states, the planetary unanimous leadership form and the spirit leadership could be implemented. Consequently, all extant, formerly hostile, and Gewalt-usingly immigrated folks of all the countries were, in the course of the following 5,000 years, further given teachings by the spirit leadership in accordance with the teaching of the prophet and led into peaceful time. And since, through the Gewaltly migration of the former warlike folks from planet Eris, the population of Eris increased by 382 million human beings, of which ultimately only about 165 million remained following their global war. And therefore, the prescribed norm of a few more than 500 million human beings had been greatly exceeded. Naturally, the population of Era surpassed the established quantity. They were naturally integrated into the whole Eran population, so the prescribed norm of 500 million was exceeded, and this no longer accorded with a standard per the relevant law, so the population regulation measures were taken in order to reach the correct population size. As you know, the Meyer material says planets of our roughly Earth-like size, like Era, should have about 500 million people. So, through the planetary spirit leadership, a guiding, and from the Eran total population, unanimously valid behavior directive was drawn up regarding strict birth regulation and explainingly promulgated to the population of Era and all the connected relations. Anyway, they instituted population control by birth control. So they got their population down. And anyway, this was, I didn't really mean to read all of that. But it's a new contact report. It's contact report 653. It's on Michael Horn's site now. It's very, very interesting. Some of the history of planet Era. And what is planet Era? Planet Era is in a star, the Pleiaden star system. It's 500 light years from Earth. From that system came Billy's first teacher, named Sloth. Sloth was a Pleiaden man. Sloth told Billy that he would have a lot of suffering in his life, and Billy, at a very young age, started to experience that kind of suffering and became somewhat of a scapegoat in the village where he lived in Bulak, and he was punished very severely by his father, and sometimes Billy could neither sit nor stand after these punishments. But young Edward Albert Meyer continued his learning under Sloth, and one day Billy was up in the ship with Sloth, and Sloth put a device on his head that had many wires associated with it, and from that device Billy got this great wellspring of knowledge. And he felt these very unusual forces penetrating into him, and he started to know about these events that would take place in the future. So now we have a lot of the prophetic material comes as Billy's has been able to tap into the wisdom of his predecessor personalities. You know, we all have deep within our subconscious the wisdom of our predecessor personalities. We have a spirit form. It resides in our superior colliculus. The spirit form, in many ways, is the real you. It does not die. It remains through many, many reincarnations. Emmanuel described the spirit this way. He said the spirit and the body are not a duality. The body comes from the spirit. It's a different form in matter, but the body comes from the spirit. They are one. In chapter 34, there's an interesting teaching about creation that Emmanuel discusses, and he says, it appears perfect, creation appears perfect by human comprehension, but this is not so. Since creation is spirit and thus live, even it must forever perfect itself. And the way that the creation, the universal conscious, perfects itself is through reincarnating human spirits. And human spirits start out very unknowing. And persons may consider this unknowing spirit as stupid. And they say that the individual is confused. But it's not. It's just a new spirit form. And the spirit will reincarnate and come back into the physical and live another lifetime. And the spirit and your consciousness leave the body and go into the spirit realm. And your consciousness goes into this overall consciousness block. And everything that you learned in your previous lifetime is converted into its essences, like peace and love and patience and whatnot. And these essences are kind of absorbed by your spirit form, and your spirit form becomes more powerful and more knowing with each reincarnation. And that's one of the laws of creation, is reincarnation. We don't understand that yet on the earth, but I think it's coming in the near future that we will start to understand that we live many, many lifetimes. Now, the past life memories are typically not available for us at our current level of evolution, but at later levels of evolution, and remember, there are 7 steps to human evolution. We here on the earth are in step 2. But at later levels, there's what's called the age of recognitions. When you reach the level of creational wisdom in stage 5, you'll start to be able to remember your previous lives. But right now, this information is in your subconscious. And it will impulse your consciousness. So you will kind of get a guidance in your life. You'll have a kind of knowing at times. And that comes from your spiritual consciousness. Remember, we have a spiritual consciousness as well as a material consciousness. Your spiritual consciousness involves your spirit form and this controlling factor called the Gemut, which controls the thoughts and the feelings associated with the spiritual consciousness. You have something called the psyche, which controls the material consciousness. And there's a swinging wave, it's called, in the Meyer material, that comes from the Gemut and strengthens the psyche at times. And in nature, the birds, particularly the birds, can be seen as they move in a flock together very much. The swinging wave, I think, is what plays a role in them turning on a dime and moving together. You see, the principle is this. Everything in the universe is really one, and it's all bound together. All of nature is an interwoven web, and this swinging wave is part of the connection between all things. We also, in humanity, in human beings, we have a collective subconscious. And that's becoming more prevalent. And the collective subconscious is a kind of knowing again. And that's when someone invents something on the other side of the earth, 3 or 4 days later, tens of thousands of miles away, the two people don't know each other and someone else will invent the same thing. You see, we're connected in ways that we don't understand yet. And when telepathy becomes, a normal thing on the earth, we'll start to understand this more. But everything is a oneness, and we don't understand that yet. And that's one of the reasons we're having this very, very difficult time. I want to talk briefly again about the 7 incarnations of the Meyer spirit form, and I harp on this a lot, but his spirit form has been Henoch, Eliah, Josiah, Yeremiah, Emmanuel, Mohammed. We pronounce these names as Henoch, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Emmanuel, and Mohammed. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Talmud of Emmanuel. And there's a new version coming out, a much better translation. And I think it will be good for us to try to get a hold of this new translation. Now, one thing about the creation is that our creation, our universe, is in the very first stage of its evolution. And we have what's called a material belt. We have material in our universe. We have physical matter. Physical matter is the result of compressed energies. So you could say, in a sense, that the material comes from the spiritual. The spiritual is the source of all things. And we are a materialistic intellectual people, unfortunately. And so we really focus on the material. And that's why we have such a slow spiritual growth on the earth here, because we have a kind of a natural disorientation, because we're very non-creational thinking. Let me put it this way. Contact Report 11 says, in the non-creational thinking human being, the material intellect, with all its given limitation, takes the highest place. So we take the material intellect as the highest thing. So we're constantly focused on the material. And thereby, we have a tremendously slow development of the spirit in the consciousness because of that. That's why earlier I brought out that verse, and I've been harping on it a lot, where Emmanuel said, the spirit and the body are not a duality. They are a oneness. And in fact, the body is a part of the spirit. That's an astonishing statement. You have to really think about that. The material intellect accepts the testimony of the material senses and their resulting conclusion, but it rejects the deepest subjective intuitions. And these subjective intuitions are what is so important. And this comes out in Contact 11. Let me read a little bit of Contact 11. The material intellect accepts the testimony of the material senses and the resulting conclusion, but rejects the deepest subjective intuitions. Deep insight reveals to the human being the knowledge that there is something more in him than what his usual consciousness mediates to him. Something that is the source of all thoughts, perceptions, and feelings, and a finer consciousness-related and spiritual presence, which always leaves him unsatisfied with merely material efforts. The doctrine that the usual material state of the human being is not the real and final stage of life. Let me repeat that. The usual material state of the human being is not the real and final stage of life. So when we go up these seven evolutionary steps, we go from the material back into the spiritual. So we're moving back into the spiritual state. That he has a deeper, more penetrating life than life itself, a true self, an immortal spirit, a light that can never be extinguished by anything. Now, the immortal spirit is just that. It never dies. Your spirit form is the real you. It will live through about 40 to 50 million, 60 million material lives. And then you will move into a half-material, half-physical state, which will last millions and millions, tens of millions of years in that state. And then your spirit form will eventually move into a completely spiritual state. The fact that we have an immortal spirit has occupied the thinkers of all times and all universes across all great times and over again. All great thinkers of all universes raise the unanimous demand over and over again to become acquainted with the real self, the life of life itself. The life of life itself is the spirit form. While the bodily organism changes each moment and the thoughts surge up like gusts of wind and disappear again, the real spiritual self is never lost. This is Contact Report 11. This is Semyase talking, I believe. It permeates absolutely everything, even though it is fundamentally different from everything. For its form is purely spiritual. It is the basic source of all perceptions of identity through countless transformations. It takes up in any manner and form all things into itself, and yet always remains itself, unchangeable and in the eternal symmetry of its own size. So I think... revisiting Contact Report 11 would be a wonderful thing to do in the near future. This was one of those contact reports that when I was first reading, I knew I wasn't getting it. I knew there was something really important here and that I just wasn't completely wrapping my mind around. In any case, let me get back to the Talmud of Emmanuel. And there's some really deep stuff here too. Bear with me a little bit. One of the things that the Meyer material talks about is something called the absolute absolutum. I guess the absolute absolutum was the original universe. You know, the Meyer material, and this is hard to wrap your mind around, but the Meyer material says there are millions of universes. We know of our sister universe, the Tao universe, which was created 46 trillion years ago. And we know the Timurs live there. We know Askit is from there. We know it's very similar to our universe. That's, stars are a little closer together, but it's very similar. But there are millions and millions of universes. And each universe evolves into a different form. There are 10 to the 49th power steps of evolution that a universe goes through. And Emmanuel started to teach about the universe and the states. He said that the creation rests. It has a state of slumber that lasts for seven great times when nothing exists in it. Let me talk a little bit about this if I can. Just a second here. There is a material belt. There are seven belts in our universe. And there is an expansion phase and a contraction phase that our universe goes through. At the end of the contraction phase, the universe goes completely dormant again. Creation, as the universal self-awareness, is the source of all life within itself, the universe. The universe has 10 to the 49th power number of evolutionary steps. And I think right now there is 10 to the 49th power number of universes. Now, Billy has talked about this. There's an interview from 1988 where Billy talks about the absolute a bit, which is extremely interesting. We'll get back to that another day. I want to continue with where I was going. In any sense, Emmanuel, a person says, that person may believe that everything is two or three, but this is not so because everything is one. Whatever people believe to be two or three is actually one. So they should make everything that is two or three into one. Since the spirit is a spirit in a person is a part of creation, it is one with creation. Consequently, it is not two. And the body, as I was saying earlier, the body is a part of the spirit in a different form and matter. It is therefore one with the spirit, consequently not two. And the teaching states that there is a unity and not in any way form a duality or a trinity. And again, the Meyer material again talks about the whole idea of the trinity is a misunderstanding, something that is from religion. I want to step forward to, and this is chapter 36 of the Talmud of Emmanuel. And Emmanuel is traveling in this caravan, and he says to the people following him, he says, human beings should look up to the stars for majestic peace and grandeur rule there. As though by immutable law and order, the infinite and everlasting changes take place there. Over days, months, years, centuries, millennia, millions of years. And he also said that human beings should look downward on the earth. For there as well, there is creational activity, endless becoming and passing way of life and existence. Greatness, excellence, and beauty rule harmoniously where nature is left to itself. Now this is again Emmanuel saying that greatness, excellence, and beauty rule harmoniously when nature is left to itself. The problem in the earth right now is we have such a massive population. Our population is destroying the forests. The forests are the moderators of the weather. So now our weather is becoming more and more intense all the time. But we have to get back in balance with nature. And in order to do that, we're going to have to get our population under control. It says one of Billy's great teachings is Love Teaching Letter number 27. Page 296, it says, the love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. The individual should therefore be aware that he exists only through the love of creation, and that he carries this love also within himself. And what I continually quote is, all of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. So this radiating love of creation that you can sense when your observation gets honed enough, you will be able to sense the radiating love of creation. It's called Empfinden in the German. And that is a fine sensitive feeling. And when you start to get that fine sensitive feeling, when you start to focus on nature, when you open up, you will see that the laws of nature are so wonderfully arranged that people everywhere come up against its radiating love. In fact, love is the purpose for our existence. Nothing would exist that does exist if it were not for love. Love is the highest principle in all of creation. Every tiny plant, every tiny animal fulfills its purpose in love. All life is in the absolute perfection that it should be through the love of creation. Now, human beings are different. Human beings, we have the free will. We can go outside the plan of nature. Now, nature is not perfect. The creation is not perfect. You can see that if you start to study the creation. Animals have to kill each other to stay alive. In my opinion, that is an evidence of the imperfection of creation. And remember, the universal consciousness is not the religious perfect God, because creation is evolving. And creation, in fact, the universal consciousness doesn't even have what we think of as a personality. It's neither good nor evil. It radiates love like the sun radiates light and heat. It doesn't personally love you. And you can start to see another of the imperfections of creation I see is that the fact that humans are left to be in charge. We can and will destroy our planet if we don't straighten up. And we just read about a case where one of the planets in the system of Era was destroyed by the humanity on this planet. And that's where we're heading. We're heading down a very, very dark path. Understanding creation is the key to getting ourselves out of all this mess. The universe that we live in is the material manifestation of the wisdom of creation. Now, wisdom is a kind of knowledge that produces energy. When we produce wisdom and its associated energy, we help the whole creation to evolve. So the most important thing you can do is to gather wisdom, because even the energy that comes from your body, when you have enough wisdom, will have a positive impact on those around you. The purpose of human life is to acquire wisdom. Love and wisdom go together. So if you find a person with wisdom, they'll have love. Because creation and its laws are love and wisdom at the same time. What is the fundamental part of love? Reverence. Reverence for all life. You know, we don't have reverence for all life. But reverence is the fundamental element of existence. And it's the fundamental element of love itself. It's this all-embracing reverence for all life, for the plant, the little animal. People have lost their compassion, their empathy, and their moral reasoning because life is no longer precious to them. True love, this reverence that I'm talking about, can never become weak, it can never become cold, it cannot be translated into hate, it can never be annihilated. Only the false emotion based love has enormous fluctuations in intensity. It can even transform into rage and hatred. Wisdom conditioned love is a harmonious state of absolute connectedness with all things. Now this takes time to understand the oneness of all things. And Billy explains that true love is a conglomerated form of fine spiritual perception, the Empfindung. It's not built upon emotions. It's based on the fine fluidal perception. Remember we've talked about the fine fluidal perceptions? Gosh, I'm running out of time, folks. But the fine fluidal, the mental fluidal powers are vibrations that store the character, personality, thoughts, and feelings, mentality, and psyche of an individual. These mental fluidal powers, they're stored in the cells. They can actually accumulate in things around you like clothes, furniture, jewelry, even trees. The mental fluidal powers come out from the consciousness in the body, and they can settle in things around your home. All mental fluidal powers are stored as firm, they're in the cells of the body. That's why you should be so aware of your thinking. For example, you can actually harm your liver through anger. So don't do that. I hope you've enjoyed the show, folks. I know I read a lot at the beginning. I normally don't do that. You're listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. We'll see you next week. Have a great day.